Introducing Alexander James Whiskey, the pride of Chicago, Illinois. Crafted with the finest ingredients and distilled to perfection, Alexander James Whiskey is the true embodiment of sophistication and elegance. Take a sip and let the rich, robust flavors dance on your palate, leaving you craving more with every drop. Whether you're celebrating a special occasion or simply unwinding after a long day, Alexander James Whiskey is the perfect companion to elevate your moments. Treat yourself to the taste of luxury. Choose Alexander James Whiskey because you deserve the best. Available now at select retailers in Chicago. Cheers to the good life. Alexander James Whiskey, distilled to perfection, crafted with elegance. Drink responsibly, must be 21 years or older. Enjoy Alexander James Whiskey in moderation.
Welcome to this episode of the Out Front with Vince Noble podcast, the show that gives emerging leaders, entrepreneurs, and technologists the information and inspiration to thrive and become their best. For sponsorship and advertisement opportunities, please contact info@nobleresolutions.com. And now, your host, Vince Noble.
Hello, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Out Front podcast. I am your host, Vince Noble. As many of you know, a huge part of what we do is, you know, we get to dive deep into some of the stories and inspirations behind some of the most successful entrepreneurs and their ventures. And today is no different. We have a truly special, inspiring guest with us, Mr. Jesse Stewart Jr., the founder of Alexander James Whiskey. We'll be talking about his inspiration for his startup of the brand, some of the challenges and positioning the brand in the competitive alcohol beverage industry, and so much more. We certainly have a lot to unpack in this episode, so let's go. A little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I'm a Chicagoan through and through. Proudly represent the city whenever I get a chance. A little bit about myself. I work in aviation. I have a degree in air traffic control. I'm a happy father of two. I got a 5-year-old son, 2-year-old daughter. My whiskey is actually named after my son. So a little bit about the brand Alexander James Whiskey. As I just said, it's named after my son. It's his first and middle name. Launched the brand back on my 30th birthday, October 2021. So the brand was like my 30th birthday gift to myself. But the brand was inspired by both of my grandfathers. My parents were high school sweethearts. So naturally, my two grandfathers, Jesse and James, became as thick as thieves. They were best buds. They did everything together. They were both vets. They were both from Arkansas and both really big whiskey drinkers. So a lot of times those guys would get together, pour up their whiskey and share all of our family's history and stories. A lot of good stories, a lot of sad stories, funny stories, but just it became tradition, you know, holidays, just random days, weekends, you know, those guys get together and everybody would gather around with their drink and just kind of tune in like little kids around a campfire, just listening to their stories. So one day I was having a sip of whiskey with those guys and thought to myself, you know what, I'm gonna make my own whiskey, and what better name to name it than after my son.
Hey, that's awesome. That's awesome. So Jesse, in terms of, you know, the business aspects of things, were your ambitions sort of always set on sort of owning your own business at some point?
You know what? My dad was an entrepreneur, so I saw it a little bit. I really didn't exactly know that I wanted to do a whiskey brand, you know, earlier in life. It was just something that I kind of stumbled upon, like I kind of had like an aha moment. So to answer your question, not really. I didn't know if I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I dabbled with a couple of things. I had a clothing brand, that I was doing doing some years back that it was pretty cool, but I just really didn't have the passion and love for it the way I did when I first started it. So maybe I guess I did kind of have some kind of inkling of being an entrepreneur, but I just didn't know what. But the whiskey brand is something that I think I truly, genuinely love. And I think this is going to be something that'll be here for forever. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, the bottom line is, you know, going into the whiskey or alcohol beverage industry, it's no small feat. So in terms of, you know, some of the difficulties or things that you had to overcome, talk to us a little about some of the things that you had to face bringing Alexander James to life.
Something that I think in hindsight, in the moment, I didn't think anything of it because I was just so driven and so focused on, you know, making this idea and this dream come true. Is capital. I mean, a lot of times people face capital issues. I'm not wealthy by any means. I'm a average working person. I don't have any partners or I didn't have any investors or anything. So that was definitely a challenge because I know a lot of brands get started up by people that do fundraising. So that's a challenge that I, like I said, in hindsight, I realized that, you know, I'm glad I did it the way that I did it by not, you know, taking investors or partners, because I had a chance to kind of get things started my way and see the whole, you know, just see something from its inception all the way to a physical, tangible item.
Absolutely. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, a little bit, if you will, the process of development, that's, you know, most intriguing, I would say, in terms of, you know, the process, if you will, with development. What do you have to go through in terms of that? What was your learning curve? If there was a learning curve, and talk to us a little bit about that process.
Yeah, sure. So like I said, one day I was drinking with my grandfathers and I had like that aha moment. At the time, my son wasn't born yet, but I knew that he was going to be named Alexander James Stewart. Alexander is his maternal grandfather's last name. James is his paternal great-grandfather's first name, and then Stewart is his last name. So he has elements of all his grandfather's name. So I knew right then and there that I wanted legacy to be a part of, you know, what I was doing the whiskey brand for. So once you know, the name, that was super easy. A lot of times I think people kind of struggle trying to come up with a name or their why. So those are two boxes that I got a chance to check off super early. Next, one day I was kind of just daydreaming and I had my eyes closed and I saw the logo. So I literally like had my eyes closed and I like hopped up, went to the computer and I made the logo in like maybe 5 minutes. So that was, you know, an early step. So from there, I had my what, I had my why, I had my, you know, the vision of what I wanted the bottle to look like. Next, I needed to figure out who was going to make the whiskey for me. So at like 3 a.m. one morning, I cold emailed like 100, 200 distillers. And only like three of them got back to me.
Were they local distillers or just
from coast to coast? I emailed people from literally coast to coast. I just Googled, you know, whiskey distilleries, and I emailed a bunch of people, and only three people got back to me. One of the people flat out said no. Another guy, one of the people that replied, just so happened was at a distillery in Mount Prospect called Two Eagles. And when I read the email, his name was Jesse and it was spelled just like mine. I'm like, oh, that's kind of, you know, that's different. That's cool. And he hit me up like, hey, if you're available, stop by the distillery. I'll be there from like 9 or whatever. And I work at O'Hare. Got off work at 8, shot to the distillery. And when I met him, you know, we were just kind of small talking. By this time, his son was already born and his son's name is Alex. My son's name was Alexander. So that was another really cool, weird parallel. Like his name is Jesse. Our son's names are Alex and Alexander. We're both really big sports fanatics. He went to Creighton University. So we talked about everything but whiskey in our first like initial meeting for the most part. Then I got a chance to try some of the products that he made. And, you know, I just explained to him my vision. And he was like, I think this is something that we can get done. And, you know, fast forward, And you have Alexander James Whiskey that I launched October 2021 on my 30th birthday.
Mm-hmm. Now getting to that exact taste that you envisioned, was that a long process? Did you hit it first time out of the block, or what was that about?
So how I got into whiskey, started off with like Jack Daniels and Jim Beam and all of that, and then I got into Scotch. My dad and his best friend Larry, like super into cigars at the time, so those guys and myself, if we like something, we dive all the way in it. So we started drinking Scotch, and we would, you know, try to find different Scotches to pair with the cigars. And I went down like a really deep rabbit hole with Scotch. Then I have a friend, Julian, who works still in the liquor industry. Shout out to Julian Smith for Brown Foreman. And he came to my house one day and brought over some Old Forester. And I'm like, man, this is really good. And every time I saw Julian, he would bring me a different bottle of bourbon. So I'm like, you know what? This whiskey, like the bourbon thing, is really cool. So every week I would go to Benny's and buy three or four different bottles of rye whiskeys and bourbon, and just went down a rabbit hole. So I personally love rye whiskey. So I made a point to make my bourbon a higher rye content. And then just last year, I released my rye whiskey. So I just knew that I wanted a high rye. I wanted it to be super smooth. I wanted it to be something that could be your everyday sipper, something that you can come home, kick off your shoes, pour up before you do anything when you get off of work. I also wanted it to be very mixable as far as cocktails, because I understand everybody doesn't drink their whiskey neat or on the rocks. So I wanted to make sure that was something that had a great palate and profile where you can mix it with some things that you wouldn't even think to mix with. So those were just the determining factors of, you know, my taste profile and what I was going for.
Mm-hmm. Right. So in terms of scaling the business to date, what are some of your biggest mistakes?
Ooh, that's a really good question that I don't even think I've said these things out loud. I don't want to call them mistakes. I would call them learning experiences.
Absolutely.
I guess you can always save up more, have more capital. You can always do a little more research. It's little things, nothing major. I didn't really run into any hiccups, to be honest with you. It's a passion project, so I can't lose at this point because the investment money made it back already. I mean, it's doing pretty good. People like it. So I don't have too many regrets, or I don't think I have made too many mistakes. I think infrastructure is very important and planning. I wasn't the best planner, and I'm still learning. So I think that's something that I can still do a lot of work on, is just planning and executing a plan from a sense of like, all right, just having a step-by-step process of what you're going to do, how you're going to execute it. So I think that's something that I kind of just rolled everything out and just did it kind of on a whim, which I think is good, because there's no pressure that way and you don't overthink, because I think a lot. I'm an overthinker. So I think maybe it kind of helped me by not planning so in depth, because I probably would have talked myself out of it.
Yeah. So, but what would you say, you know, getting beyond some of those challenges though? Cause obviously there are some challenges in getting any business going. So what would you say has sort of been your superpower in terms of, you know, those mind success hacks that got you through those difficult times?
I'm stubborn. So I think that definitely helps a lot. I know what I want. I know my vision for my brand. So that's something that, you know, I've gotten advice and some constructive criticism from some people that I really value their opinion. Some people that I've met over the years that work in the spirits industry, some family, some friends. But it's a slight resilience and stubbornness that's like, nah, I'm not going to listen to you, because I know what I like. I know my vision, and I can see what the consumer likes or what they want. Like, for instance, my bottle design. A couple of people that work in the spirits industry told me that they didn't think my bottle design was good. But one of the first things a consumer will say to me, or a supporter, is, man, I love your bottle design. So it's like, I'm not going to really listen to you, because, like I said, I have my vision. So I think that's been my superpower. Also, just the genuine story. Like, I'm a very genuine person. I try to, you know, be real at all times. So I think that's also a superpower to just be able to be myself, you know, and be an open book about things. I'm very approachable. So I think people can kind of gravitate to that too.
Right, right, right. And then also, I guess, in terms of, you know, in terms of packaging, you know, that is something that, you know, as you mentioned earlier, you know, things to learn through as you go along, and things like packaging mm-hmm. could be developed, you know, along the way as well.
Right, for sure. I've made some tweaks to my bottles, for sure. From a cost of goods standpoint, I just recently changed my bottle and it saved me like 60 cents a bottle, which mm-hmm. I mean, that might be giving too much information, but like,
right.
it's, you can always make adjustments. Like it's not mm-hmm. even some people do whole rebrands and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, as long
right,
as you're,
absolutely.
You know, doing what you feel is best for you, your company, your brand or whatever have it. But yeah, I've made a couple little small, subtle changes to my bottle design over the last 2 years. And I don't see anything wrong with it. Obviously, you just want to always improve. I'm somewhat of a perfectionist. I just always want to be my best self. And with this mm-hmm. being, you know, this is my baby. This is my third baby.
Right.
So,
right,
you
right.
know, I always want it to be its best.
Right. So obviously, as challenging, you know, as the beverage industry is, what would you say that sets Alexander James Whiskey apart from all the other growing brands?
I don't want to sound too, just kidding. You know what? In all seriousness though, the story mm-hmm. of the brand, you know, the what, mm-hmm. the why, I think those are very important. The story mm-hmm. of the brand, the inspiration of the brand is something that literally everybody can relate to, whether you have a kid, whether you have a grandparent, whether, you know, you sat around and listened to somebody that you value tell stories. As an African American, I know mm-hmm. a lot of our lineage was told through, you know, verbal storytelling or folklore. Right. So that's something I also really wanted to tap into. And I know that that's not something that everybody can do. But I tapped into that, and that was very intentional of me to do that because I want to encourage people to sit down with their loved ones and talk about their family's history, their past and all of that. Mm-hmm. So that's what sets mm-hmm. it apart. And then obviously it's a good liquid. The whiskey is really good. The profile is different. It's very smooth. It's very mixable. I have a couple different variations. I have a straight bourbon whiskey, a rye whiskey, a 5-year bourbon, as well as a barrel proof bourbon. So I literally have something for everybody. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to just focus on one type of consumer. So I think that's also what sets it apart. So, you know, the branding, the story and inspiration behind the brand, as well as the liquid, is what sets it apart from other brands.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, I got to get my hands on all those brands here pretty soon.
It's a lot of stores that have them. So
absolutely. So listen, where do you see Alexander James Whiskey brand in the next 10 years?
Oh, 10 years. I thought you were going to say five. 10 years from now, I see Alexander James Whiskey being something that from coast to coast, you'll be able to get your hands on, whether it be via online or your local liquor store. Mm-hmm. It'll be something that is very recognizable. It'll be a household name, something that, you know, not just my family and friends will be proud of, but everybody will be proud of because,
right,
I said, you can relate to this story. You can relate to this brand and the what and the why. So I see mm-hmm. this being something that, you know, just takes off and is something that just becomes something that is easily recognizable. You'll be able to spot the bottle from across the room. You'll know that logo and you'll be at an airport or at a bar, restaurant or the store and say, you know, I want Alexander James. And they're not even going to be able to think twice because they'll know exactly where it is. They'll know exactly what you're talking about because it'll have, you know, grown legs and, you know, have expand it to all these different markets mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. everybody can get it.
Right, right. Well, hey, I certainly wish you all the most success as you continue to grow your brand. And, you know, your story is incredibly inspiring, Jesse. And so, you know, again, like you spoke to earlier, it's evident that Alexander James Whiskey is more than just a brand. It's a legacy in the making, I would say. And so now as we wrap up our conversation, you know, what advice would you give other inspiring entrepreneurs who are looking to follow their passion and create something meaningful?
Sure. My advice would be to them to, you got to have resilience. You got to be a little stubborn, because everybody won't see your vision. Everybody won't understand your why. So sometimes you kind of have to not think of anybody or ask people's opinion. Or if you do, take it with a grain of salt, because nobody knows your vision or your desires or your wants the way you do. So my advice would be to buckle down, devise a plan, execute your plan, and envision yourself, you know, accomplishing all those things that you want to accomplish. I'm really big on the law of attraction. What you think about, you bring about. So, you know, ask, believe, and you'll receive.
Absolutely. So listen, Jesse, hey, we at that segment of the show that we call a hot seat. Mm-hmm. You know, our listeners like to ask some of those hot topics from some of our things that we bring on the show.
I might pour some whiskey up for this part.
So listen, so if you could turn back the time and, you know, talk to that 18-year-old self, what would you say to him?
Oh, that's a great question. 18-year-old me, I would tell myself, everything works itself out. Don't worry about it. That is something that I'm still struggling with, because I'm a very passionate person. Just worrying. You got to let that worry go and trust.
Right.
And if it's something like, whether you're in school, you're an athlete, you apply for a job, if you put that work in, you're going to get the results.
I
literally posted today on Twitter, worry is like a rocking chair. You're always moving, but you're never going anywhere. So I would tell my 18-year-old self, do not worry. Everything works itself out.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is something that people seem to misunderstand about Jesse?
My mom is going to get a kick out of this part. I am so passionate, because I feel like I have such a pure heart. I am passionate about everything. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. So sometimes I take things very personal.
Right.
But it's because I'm so passionate and I have such a big heart that, you know, sometimes I get offended, or, you know, my feelings get hurt, because I, like I said, I'm just a very passionate person. So, and like I said, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. So I think that part of my life is a little misunderstood.
It
comes from a good place. I have a pure heart, and I just expect that back from people.
Right. That's not always a bad thing. So what has been some of your greatest personal achievements outside of your business development?
My biggest accomplishment is being a father.
That's a good one.
My son and my daughter are amazing. As time progresses, I'm seeing that they have my personality, which is really funny. It's good, but it's bad, because at times I'm looking at them like, oh my goodness, I can't even be mad at you, because I'm the same way. But that is my ultimate accomplishment, just being a father. I have a reason, I have a purpose. That's my motivation in life, to make sure that they're good. I made this brand for them, for their legacy, something to pass on to them. Hopefully it'll be some generational wealth behind it, and their kids and their kids' kids will be straight off of, you know, the work that I put in.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned earlier, you don't view your failures as failures. You view them as things, obviously, that you learn by. So I'll frame it this way. What is your biggest failure, Alva, but what did you learn from it?
That's a good question. This might be a little off from your question, because I can't really think of like an absolute failure, but something that I wish I could have done better, is just save. I think society is very materialistic. So I think a failure would be, you know, sometimes I didn't save as much as I would like to have. Just having a nest egg, or, you know, just having capital to do things. My dad always says the quote, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So from a standpoint of, you know, having money saved up, if you want to start a business, you can, because your finances, your credit, everything is in order for you to do that. If you want to buy a new car or a house or whatever else, you know, if your finances are in order, you got money saved up, and you know, taking care of your P's and Q's, then you don't have to, you know, worry. Like I said before.
Right. And that's a good one. Yeah, that's actually a real good one. I would say, and it can hinder you from being able to navigate in the mm-hmm. way that you want.
Exactly.
When the time comes, absolutely. So yes, it can be viewed as a failure, absolutely.
Right, and opportunity sometimes, if you're not ready in that moment, opportunity will pass you up. I've seen it happen.
Absolutely. So listen, my final question is, what makes you feel inspired, or, you know, when you're at your best self?
I feel inspired when I see people around me making their dreams come true. And that was a part of the reason why mm-hmm. I wanted to do the brand as well, because a lot mm-hmm. of people are afraid to take that leap of faith and do something right. that they're, you know, afraid to do. I was nervous, mm-hmm. and I got to give another shameless plug to John Basile Tequila, a Black-owned tequila mm-hmm. brand based out of Chicago. They had just launched around mm-hmm. the time, you know, all of these thoughts were in my head, and I reached out to one of the owners, like, hey, man, thinking about doing this, you know, what's to it? And he told me, there's nothing to it, just do it. And those little mm-hmm. words of mm-hmm. encouragement is what I needed to kind of get over the hump and not talk myself out of wanting to do this venture. So, yeah, I just want to inspire people, no matter what it is that you want to do in life, to just do it. It might be scary. You might not know how, but, you know, I'm a very spiritual person. You shouldn't worry about how. Just know that God is going to make it happen.
Absolutely. Hey, Jesse, so very wise words that you've left us with today. So before we go, how can people find out more about Alexander James Whiskey, where to purchase or even to connect with the brand online or through social media?
Sure. Well, you can check out all the stores and restaurants that carry it at www.alexanderjameswhiskey.com. Instagram and Facebook is also Alexander James Whiskey. I post happy hours, tastings, new accounts, events, everything on there. My personal Instagram is wontonstew1, wontonstew, and the number one. So I post more of my personal stuff on there, my kids. I'm a sneaker and car enthusiast, so a lot of that is on there. But I also post a lot of whiskey stuff. So if the brand page ain't got nothing going on, my personal page does too. But those are pretty much it. Like I said, all the stores and restaurants are on the website. A couple of stores that are notable that a lot of people in the Illinois market will know is Benny's, Mariano's, Kenwood, A&S, the Arminetti's chain. So those are just a few to name some, but www.alexanderjameswhiskey.com. You'll find drink recipes as well as all the stores and restaurants that carry.
Okay. So, hey, so before we get any plans of expanding beyond the Illinois market?
Just finished up plans for Georgia, soft launch in DC. So as of now, it'll be Illinois, DC, shortly Georgia. And then, you know, I'm making my way across the United States. Slowly but surely. I'm really big on slow and steady wins the race and embracing the slow grind. Sometimes people want to blow up too fast, and it can hinder them more than help them. So I just want to take it slow and make sure I'm doing it right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So listen, Jeffs, hey, man, we wish you all the success. And thank you once again for joining us today. And it certainly has been a pleasure. So please come back and visit us soon.
Will do. And it was an honor to be on your show, and I'm really grateful for it.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Yes.
We certainly hope that you enjoyed today's episode. So make sure to join our Facebook group, Out Front with Vince Noble. And don't forget to comment, rate, share, and subscribe on the Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to download your podcast. Until next time, remember, you still get to write your own life story.